800 Empire 7. 10 quality windows for your home from $56 a month. Empire Window Company, flourishing for three generations with a variety of custom and designer windows, siding, and doors. Choose from double hung, sliding, casement and awning, bow, and bay windows. Give your home stunning curb appeal with patio doors, French doors, and front entry doors in a variety of gorgeous styles and colors. Enhance the beauty and value of your home. An array of options available to fit any budget and make your home breathtakingly beautiful. Empire Windows are virtually maintenance-free, worry-free, and made local. Call 1-800-EMPIRE-7. Thinking about vinyl siding? Try 35% off. Free financing is available, too. Call 1-800-EMPIRE-7.
How about a fun and easy way to see what replacement windows and siding will look like on your home before you buy? Check out Empire's online window and siding design center. Change styles and colors with the click of your finger. EmpireWindowCompany.com or 1-800-EMPIRE-7.
Are you or someone you know tired of living the life of an addict? Are you frustrated with traditional recovery meeting options that emphasize steps to change your outward behavior, but never really get to the heart of the matter? What if I could show you how you can change not only your outward behaviors, but also your inward desires? Hi, I'm Sean Petter with Liberty Addiction Recovery, and I'd like to show you a better path to recovery. Have you ever been in a meeting where somebody started off with, "Hi, my name is, and I'm an addict"? You see, your identification with your addiction will determine whether you allow it to define you or whether it will be overcome. At Liberty Addiction Recovery, we believe that you can rise above this false identification as you learn what the Bible teaches about your true identity. That is, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And that's what sets Liberty Addiction Recovery apart from the rest. We focus on the cure of the cause, not just the symptoms. As the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Come join us Friday nights at 7 p.m. at Liberty Valley Church in Macedonia, Ohio, for Liberty Addiction Recovery, a Bible-based recovery option for people from all backgrounds. For more information, contact the church at 330-554-7606 or visit our website at www.libertyvalleychurch.org/addiction.
Abortion can be one of the most traumatic experiences in a person's life. Research shows that over 40% of women have experienced the pain and heartache caused by abortion. No one ever told you about the short-lived relief that soon turns into guilt, grief, secrecy, and shame. Many women deny and suppress their emotions and suffer severe consequences known as post-abortion syndrome. God wants to heal your brokenness. In Psalm 107:20, he says, "I sent my word and healed them and rescued them from their destructions." If you or someone you know had an abortion recently or many years ago, there is hope and healing available. Contact Oasis of Hope Pregnancy and Parenting Support Center at 330-723-3600 or go to oasisofmedina.com. That's oasisofmedina.com. All information is strictly confidential.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope that you'll stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And you can join us this evening. Our toll-free telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the program here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Just trying to get my headset and everything set here a little bit, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the program here tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air tonight. We pray that you would bless the program this evening. Pray that you would use us for your glory, Lord. Again, as we come before you tonight, we're thinking of the 15th anniversary, Lord, remembering back September 11, 2001. And Lord, we think about the changes that brought to our nation. But Lord, help it to encourage us, Lord, to look to you and to put you first and foremost in our lives and to be able, try to be a blessing and a help and minister to the needs of those around us. Use us tonight for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. And like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio. And we're glad to be on with you tonight. We're on the air live. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here. And also remind you, you can always visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. livewithpastoral.com. And from there, you can find links to our page for our home church. You can also find links to our Facebook page. We're on Facebook and also broadcasting live on Periscope, and pray for that. So far, it seems to be running well, and we've got a few people watching on Periscope, so we're glad for that. And hopefully, Periscope will cooperate. Every week it wants to do something new for me. It's always a new experience, but pray that we can use that for God's glory to help reach out to other people. And let's see, also mention again, of course, checking out our website, livewithpastoral.com, and follow the links right there. And you can like us on Facebook. We'd love to have you like us on Facebook there. And someday, if I ever figure out what to do with Twitter, I got a Twitter account there. I think it's Pastor Al Live for Twitter. I would know better. Twitter involves having, I guess, to write more stuff. I like to share a lot of articles, and you'll see that sometimes when you go to our Facebook page, that I tend to share a number of articles there. And I'm kind of an information-oriented sort of person, and I like reading things. I like when people share articles with me, so that's kind of what I do. And then, of course, it gives us things to talk about here on the radio, and of course, your conversation with your questions and things. If you've got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, try to touch on those things as well. As I said in our opening prayer, this is the 15th anniversary of the Islamic terror attacks on America in 2001, September 11, 2001, obviously. And we think about that, and it's by no means not the first Islamic terror attacks on the United States, and it's certainly not the last, but it was certainly one of the biggest attacks our country has ever seen, certainly the biggest attacks on the homeland of our country. And it was was our generation's Pearl Harbor. A lot of people compared it that way, considering the number of people that died as a result of the various airplanes, the two, of course, that hit the Twin Towers in New York City, the one that hit the Pentagon, and then the one that went down in Pennsylvania. And, you know, that one is kind of interesting because here where I live in Richfield, Ohio, that morning, I remember my wife was had just gone to work, and she was in a patient's room and saw it on TV when some of the stuff was happening, and she saw the second airplane hit the tower, and she called me and said, do I have the TV on? And I said, what station? She said, doesn't matter. And, you know, when you hear something like that, you know it's a big deal. And I turned on, I remember watching all that, and the jet that went down in Pennsylvania was on its way cross country, and it turned right here in northeastern Ohio. I had a friend who was working at the Oberlin Air Traffic Control Center here, covers traffic across northern Ohio, and he actually was off that day. He went in the next day, of course, and saw a lot of the radar tapes and stuff what happened on that day. But of all things, he was off that day trying to buy a car, and he was in an old beat-up car that didn't have a radio that day. But it was a very interesting, surreal day, and my daughter was in school and everything, and so it just was a surreal day, followed by some very odd days, you know, when you think about looking up in the sky, always seeing airplanes flying back and forth. A member of our church, he was in the air that morning, and when they forced all the aircraft to set down at the closest available base, or airport, I should say, I recall there was one that was flying, and they told the air traffic controller that they would just proceed to their destination and stop because they weren't that far. And they said, no, you don't understand. You have to set down. They gave them a place that they had to set down at. And the pilot argued with them and finally did set the airplane down. And I guess the FBI met him and carried him off, or took him off the airplane and interrogated him for a while because we didn't know what was going on that day. And obviously it was something big, but I recall when I left the Air Force and a few years later, the Berlin Wall came down. And when that happened, I remember telling my wife, the next thing we're going to deal with here in this country is Islamic fundamentalist terror. Sure enough, September 11, you know, proved that to be true. And we've been dealing with that ever since. And we talk about that from time to time on our program. And, you know, I don't want people to be overcome with fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear. That's not what he wants. I was looking tonight, and let me turn over here in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 91. At our church here this evening and during the service tonight, we were going through Psalm 91. And something that's interested in this here, when he's talking here, it's a very encouraging psalm. And it's basically the idea that if we're trusting in the Lord, if we're following him, we're putting our hope in him, we should not be afraid. He says this right here in Psalm 91, starting verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Let me pause there for a minute. The snare of the fowler. That's somebody who hunts birds, just like a hunter. Somebody who hunts birds, and they'd set snares out, and the birds would get trapped in the snares, and they would catch them and, of course, eat them. And then the noisome pestilence, pestilence there, disease and all. But he says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And that gives us the picture of a chicken. You think of a mother hen when there's danger or when it starts to rain or something, she clucks and she holds her wings out, and the baby chicks go underneath her wings and she shelters them there. That's what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 23, verse 37, when he cried over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. And I'm just giving a quick paraphrase of the verse there. But he said, how often I would have, had you come and shelter under my wings like a hen, you know, her chickens, but you would not. And you can go read the actual verse there. It's an interesting verse. It shows that Jesus' will was to protect and to shelter them, and for them to come and under his protection, and their will was not to, and they refused to do what he wanted them to do. And that's something for people who think that God's will can never be thwarted. You have to understand that they did in that case, and that's why he cried over Jerusalem. But getting back to Psalm 91, it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And we understand the truth of God's word. Of course, God's word is truth. We understand what God's word has to say. And we believe it. That sets us up for the next verse 5, where he says, thou shalt not be afraid for terror by day, nor for the arrow that flieth by night, nor for pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. It doesn't say that these things won't affect you, but what it does say is thou shalt not be afraid for these things. And you know, the Bible says that God will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on him. And that's what it says in the very first verse here of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we think about the threat against us. There's always, it seems like, the ever-present threat of a terror attack and things like that. But you know what? God is with us. And if we're on his side, and if we dwell with him, if we know Christ is our Savior, we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're under his protection. He's our fortress. He's our protector. And we need to remember that. When we remember that truth from the Word of God, we don't need to be afraid of the things. Well, we can be concerned, and we can certainly take common sense precautions and do what we can to hold back the forces of darkness, but we don't need to be overcome by them. We don't need to be overly fearful and anxious for these things, because God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Phone number 888-677-9673. And we have got a caller here, and I'm trying to read the board. I'm having trouble focusing on it here. And it looks like Grover tonight. Or we'll get you on. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Brother Al?
It's Grover. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Al, you've known me for quite a while.
Yes, sir.
And you know that I'm pro-life all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So are you. And three times a week, I'm on the abortion clinic. That's to save babies. You know my pastor, too. I'm not going to mention his name. We have a conflict going on. And I prayed to God to show me who was right and who's wrong.
Let me interrupt just a second there. I think you're on the right track there when you said what you said. I pray to God. You know, you're looking for God's direction in the conflict. But go ahead.
And God has shown me. See, the Spirit of God talks to me. I can tell when somebody's not saved. You know, God shows me the Spirit. You know the life that I live. Sanders knows it. And Brother Musselman knows me.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the conflict. See, I am a sponsor of some of the little kids that's got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's St. Jude's Hospital.
Right.
I hear a lot of them talking negative about it. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm not mentioning his name or nothing. But he says he can't support him because Danny Thomas is a Mason. Marla Thomas is involved with a lesbian. But here's what I tell him. I said, hey, I cannot be responsible for what Danny Thomas does. I'm not responsible if Marlo Thomas is involved or supports the lesbian. I said, I've told you that my responsibility is to love. So I see, I'm a parent, and I told him, I said, nobody's ever asked you to put mission funds into that, but I said, and I made an announcement. I said, on September the 24th, St. Jude is going to Edgewater Park in Cleveland is going to have a run. They're going to have a walk, and they know me at St. Jude's Hospital, so they want me to be a leader, a volunteer to be down there. There's going to be a lot of people. And I told Ken today, I'm sorry I mentioned his name. But anyway, I said, anybody that wants to stand up for these little babies that cost nothing, there's no money ever charged to these people. And I told him my responsibility, and I prayed to God. And God has told me that you are wrong in your attitude towards them. I said, we saved the babies, the unborn babies. There's nobody ever turned down at St. Jude's Hospital. They're not charged. He says, well, they charge a bunch of money, the doctors. I said, yeah, those doctors go 12 and 14 years, spend probably $1 million for education. They got to be paid for what they're doing.
Well, and that's absolutely true because, you know, you think about it, it costs money. I know some people in the medical profession, my wife being an RN, and
here's the thing. here's the thing that, see, I respect you very much, Brother Al. And I want you to tell me if I'm wrong or right for feeling that way towards these little kids that are dying. I've been following them for years. I want you to tell me, see, I know the Spirit of God can tell you, am I wrong or am I right to want to support these little babies? There's 85% of them, within the last 10 years, it went from 20 negative to 80 to 85 kids being saved through the grace of God and through the medical thing that they do. Well, you just tell me over the air, Pastor Grover, you're wrong or you're right.
Well, Grover, let me give you a verse here, okay? Let me give you a verse here. And this is what I was thinking of as you were talking. And in Matthew chapter 18, it's an interesting passage. And it's while the disciples are milling about Jesus, they ask him, Jesus asked them, the disciples come to Jesus in verse number one. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, become as little children, you should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so he talks about these little children here. And in verse six, he says this. There's two parts to this that I want to read. Verse six, he says this. He says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, let me read another one a little further down here, verse number 10. It says this, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And, Danny Thomas is not running around at St. Jude Hospital, that's for sure. I'm not sure when it was that he passed away. And
about 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, and Marlo Thomas's daughter is not running the hospital, and she may be a spokesperson raising money for them. But there's a great number of people, I do understand that are trying to help these children. And I've thought about this. If we're going to tell people that it's a sin to abort your child, then certainly we ought to be trying to help them when the child is born, that child can get the health and the care, the care that it needs. And some of those children are going to have challenges. They're going to have physical challenges. And I'm reminded, I remember meeting a lady a few years ago who was trying to start a ministry where she was going to come alongside of women that were single and expecting. And, they were going to try and not only convince them not to get the abortion, but to save the life of the child. But then they were going to come alongside of these women and be able to help them out with their needs so they could get the medical care for that unborn child, the prenatal care that they needed. And then when the child was born, that these women would get help with diapers and formula and also getting some of the training and stuff that they needed so that they could take care of those babies. And if they're not able to keep them, to help them to find homes for them where they could be adopted and to help with some of the medical costs and stuff that would be incurred. And so not just keeping them from having the abortion, but helping them and coming alongside of them. And, I do believe that one of the hallmarks of Christianity, when Jesus said these words here about take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, many of the culture around him of that day, children were a disposable commodity. I remember hearing somebody read in a setting one time talking about the view of children at this time of a Roman soldier who wrote to his wife who was back in Rome, and she was expecting their child. And he basically said, if the child is a girl, take the child into the, there was a particular area in the city where they could just leave the child. And if somebody chose to accept the child, that was fine. Otherwise, the child would just die there in the street. And he said, if it's a girl, take her there. If it's a boy and it's healthy, keep it. you know, if it's a, so in other words, if it was a boy and unhealthy, there she's get rid of.
My question, I just don't want to hold up. But if you have any people call in, I'd like to get some feedback. Just tell them Pastor Grover was, well, if they want to give any feedback on St. Jude.
Yeah, and there's a lot of dedicated people at St. Jude's. I don't know a huge amount about St. Jude's myself, but I do know there's a lot of dedicated people there. You know, I've seen some of the commercials and some of their PR materials. But at St. Jude's, any hospital, you're going to find people that are involved in things that you and I do not agree with. You're going to find people and sponsors that you and I do not agree with. But at the same time, where do you draw the line? And this is something that everybody has to answer between them and God.
Here's what I say, Brother Al. You put the whole picture, you draw a human being, right? The picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can cut part of the body off, but when the main part of the body is gone, the brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no life in you, right?
Yeah.
But as long as there's a baby out there, it can be, put it this way. If I had a baby, first I'd put my trust in God. And then I would pray about St. Jude's Hospital. And I know the answer that God would tell me. You take that baby to St. Jude, because I am blessing St. Jude's.
And let me put it another way here. There's other hospitals, for instance, around that... I'm trying to think down in Northern Kentucky, the big one there, St. Elizabeth's. It's a Catholic run hospital. I'll guarantee that if somebody was in an accident going down, Interstate 75 through Florence, Kentucky, and the ambulance said, I'm taking you to a Catholic hospital. I'll guarantee that as an independent fundamental Baptist, preacher, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not going to a Catholic hospital.
Right.
I'll go there and you know there may be a Baptist hospital in Cincinnati, but St. Elizabeth, I don't think there is in Cincinnati, but St. Elizabeth's right there in Northern Kentucky. And if I was in an accident, I want to go where I can get care.
I appreciate your you gave me the right answer. I think the Spirit of God told you the Grover's doing the right thing.
Well, Grover, keep praying about it. That's the most important thing, like I said at the beginning. That's the most important thing you can be doing is putting that matter into the Lord's hands and allowing him to direct you and direct those around you. And we're running out of time here, Grover. I want to appreciate or thank you for bringing up the subject and the topic.
Anybody else want to comment on it?
All right, and hopefully we'll get some more people in the second half of the program calling in talking about some of this, but thank you.
We're going to come out and see you pretty soon.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, on the 28th of September, Ken and I and Ernie Sanders is going down to Montgomery, Alabama to support
Judge Roy Moore. Yes.
Yes, sir, Reese.
All right, well, hope things go well on the trip. Thank you, Grover. Thank you. And again, just want to remind you that you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to be coming up on our break here in just a moment, and we'll be on till midnight tonight. And let me give you those phone numbers. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call and be ready for the second half. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And as we're going into the break here, just want to remind you, I'll mention it again when we come out of the break, our anniversary service at our church is coming up a week from today, Sunday, September 18th. And if you're in Northeast Ohio, want to come out and visit, we'd love to have you visit. We go to your regular church in the morning for sure, but we're having a potluck dinner at 1 o'clock, and then we're also having a free gospel concert with Eric Howitt. Some of you listening know him, and he'll be with us at 2 o'clock singing, and be a good time of fellowship. We'll talk more about it later, and I hope you'll be able to stay tuned for the second half of the program. Again, those numbers, 888-677-9673. Check us out on livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you check out our Facebook page there as well. And we got some more of this information on there. And again, just touching a little bit on what Grover was saying about children. You know, the care of children, it was very important to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be concerned about them. Well, thanks again for listening. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to the Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and hope you'll be able to stick with us here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I also want to mention that we're on Periscope, and I actually had a question on Periscope during the break, and so I'm going to try and address that as well. But just a reminder, you can find us on livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com online. And we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and I do not have my paper with me right now with all the pertinent information. I was scrambling here trying to find that. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and that is in Garfield Heights, of course. You can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. 541-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And you might be out of the area and think, well, that's all well and good, but I'm not in Northeast Ohio. I'm not liable to be visiting East Coast Pizza anytime soon. But I do have a restaurant. I'm looking for a good pizza recipe to add to my lineup. Or maybe you want to start a pizza shop of your own. Well, you can give Gus at East Coast Pizza a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you'll give him a call, ask for Gus, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business yourself. And that's East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. Well, we're going to get back to our program again. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. One of our viewers on and listeners on Periscope asked a question about Colossians chapter 1, and hopefully this is still working okay in Periscope. Looks like something locked up on there, but every once in a while it does that. But I'm going to address the question anyways. Hopefully they're able to catch this. But the question in Colossians chapter 1 was revolving around verse number 15 starting here, where the Bible says this, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And we're going to have to actually back up a little bit in that passage, because that is actually there in the middle of a sentence. And I'll apologize to our Periscope leader or viewer here at the moment, but Periscope has froze up on us here. Always something to do with these new things here. Hopefully it'll unfreeze here in a minute, and we'll get back with that. But when you're reading the Bible, it's good to keep things in context, and to keep things in context, you gotta keep the sentences together. And let me back up here a little bit. In this sentence here, the sentence actually starts way up in verse number 9, I believe. And let me just read through this sentence here. Starting verse number 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." And increasing the knowledge of God, continuing verse 11, "strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Now, that's one long sentence. It runs from verse number 6 to verse number 17. And when we look at this, there's a lot going on in that sentence, and we don't have time, obviously, to break down everything that's going on in this sentence. It's a long, complicated sentence. If you handed this in to your English teacher in school today, they'd probably say this is a run-on sentence. But it's kept as one long sentence in the King James Version, because all of these statements are interrelated, and they're intimately tied together. That's why they kept it one sentence. Some of the modern versions break it up into a series of sentences. But we're talking about how he is praying for people, that they could walk worthy of the Lord in the work that God's given them to do, and being strengthened by Him and giving thanks to the Father, remembering that it's He that redeemed us, is basically what's going on in this sentence. And to have, it's God who's delivered us from the power of darkness, that's our sin, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's our salvation experience there, where we're taken from being sinners, and we're moved from that condition into the condition of being saints, where our sins are forgiven, and we're taken out of the kingdom of the devil, basically, and placed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And that's where our salvation comes from. And then talking about Jesus Christ, the Son, who purchased our salvation with His blood, who makes the means possible for redemption and the forgiveness of sins, He's described here, and this is where our Periscope viewer had the question, verse 15, who, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Now, that's a statement that makes people wonder what exactly is going on here. Is Jesus a created being? And certainly the Jehovah's Witnesses will point to this verse and say, see, Jesus is the first thing that God created. And if you take this out of context, it would sure seem to be that way, wouldn't it? That Jesus is the first thing that God created. But that's not exactly what's going on here when you read the entire passage. He is, yes, the firstborn of every creature here in verse 15, but as you continue on through here, it makes it very clear that Jesus is the one that created all things. For by Him, in verse 16, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And then notice what it says, and for Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. Now, this is an interesting statement here, because over in Revelation chapter 4, and let me find this verse real quick. In Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says this in verse number 11, the 24 elders that are before the throne cast their crowns before the throne of God, and they say this in verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, they're talking to God in heaven, and they're saying to God in heaven that all things were created for Him and by Him. Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, that's an important statement. And the Bible here said that God created all things, that Jesus Christ created all things, and that all things, He's before all things, or I'm sorry, that all things are created by Him at the end of verse 16, and for Him. And then verse 17 says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, we're going to read the next verse here in just a minute, but let me go over to Hebrews again here for just a moment. And in the book of Hebrews, we can see some more information that helps us to understand this a little bit more. It says this in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, again, at first blush, this seems to say that Jesus is a created being, that he is created separately, and that he might be the first thing that God created. And I've heard people explain, well, that God created Jesus and then used Jesus to create the heavens and the earth. Now, of course, this is interesting because it says here that by himself he purged our sins. And when we understand the Trinity of God, it begins to become a little more sensible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when we see this, we begin to have a better understanding of who God, the makeup of God. We understand that God the Son is also God. So let's see what else Hebrews has to tell us here. In continuing on in Hebrews chapter 1, God is referring to Jesus, and he says again in verse 5, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." So wait a minute. Doesn't this say that he's begotten, that he's a created being? Well, let's continue. "And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son," this is referring to Jesus. This is what God says of Jesus. "But unto the Son, he saith," notice, God the Father is saying this, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Did you catch that? God the Father says of the Son, of Jesus Christ, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And ever. God the Father just called Jesus, called him God. Now, this is the continues. It's not a mistake. God the Father said to Jesus, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil above the gladness of thy fellows." God the Father says to the Son, "Thy throne, O God," and then reminds Jesus that God, referring to himself, the Father, "even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And then God the Father continues speaking in verse 10, and he says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands." And he continues talking there, but did you catch that again? In this passage here, God the Father refers to Jesus Christ as God in verse number 8 and as Lord in verse number 10. Something's going on here. So obviously, the term first begotten must have something in its meaning more than the first created being. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number, we had the question again in verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And notice what it says as we come down here in verse number 18, a new sentence starts. And let me read this new sentence, and this should clear up our controversy. In verse number 18, Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And he," referring to Jesus Christ, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And then it says in the next verse, verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." It's talking about the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in Christ. Now remember, in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse number 8, God the Father called Jesus Christ God. And in verse number 10, God the Father called Jesus Christ Lord. Now, we're going to look at some passages in Isaiah here in just a moment, but the clarity comes in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, where it says that Jesus Christ, that God the Father calls God and Lord, is the firstborn from the dead. That's where this name comes, this term comes from. Let me look over here real quick in Revelation chapter 1. I was in Revelation a few moments ago, and let's go to Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, here's a tremendous statement here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead." Did you catch that? That's exactly what Paul wrote here in Colossians 1 verse 18. The firstborn from the dead. That's the same thing as what John writes when he refers to Jesus here as the first begotten from, or the first begotten of the dead. That ought to be able to tell us something here. Let's look at one more verse here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let me turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's drop down in 1 Corinthians 15 to, let's see here. Verse number 20, he's just talked about the importance of the resurrection of Christ. In fact, Paul had gone so far as to say that if the resurrection didn't take place, we might as well eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's how important it was to Paul. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, "But now," talking about the resurrection, "but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." He continues on, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all men, or all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." But see, Jesus here is described in this passage as the first fruits of them that slept. Now you can begin to see what's going on here. This term, the firstborn, does not mean that God created Jesus and then used Jesus to create the heavens and the earth. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that he's the firstborn from the dead. That ties into the concept of him being the first fruits of them that slept, meaning that he's the first in the resurrection. There's only one God. So when God the Father referred to Jesus Christ as God and Lord in Hebrews chapter 1, he wasn't making a mistake. He was referring to Jesus Christ as God and Lord because Jesus Christ is both God and Lord. Let me give you an example from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament here in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, tremendous book. In the book of Isaiah, in verse number 10, he says this, chapter 43 and verse number 10, Isaiah 43, verse number 10, he says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Remember, Jesus Christ was described in Hebrews as having purchased our salvation by himself. Well, God right here says there's only one God, and it's himself. He is the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Let me go over to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." But remember, God the Father in Hebrews chapter 1 referred to Jesus as God, both God and Lord. Well, let's look at this a little closer in Isaiah 44, verse 6. Notice what he says here. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel." And then there's a comma. "The Lord, the King of Israel." It's all caps for Lord. That means that's Jehovah. Jehovah, the King of Israel. And then there's a comma, and his Redeemer. Who's his refer to? It refers to Jehovah, the King of Israel. So you could literally read this, thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and Jehovah, the King of Israel's Redeemer, the Lord of Hosts. And again, that's Lord in all capitals, so that would be Jehovah of Hosts. So that would be literally, thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and Jehovah, the King of Israel's Redeemer, Jehovah of Hosts. And then he says, and beside me there is no God. How can both Jehovah, King of Israel, and Jehovah, the Redeemer, the Lord of Hosts, the Redeemer, the Jehovah of Hosts, both be the same? Well, that's called the Godhead. In him, meaning Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God is one God, but he exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we see the Father and the Son revealed here. Lord Jehovah, the King of Israel, that would be God the Father, and Jehovah, the King of Israel's Redeemer, the Jehovah of Hosts, that would be the Redeemer, the Son. We see the both of them revealed here. And just to make it certain that we know that we're not talking about a plurality of gods, we're talking about one God, and it says in verse number 8, he says again, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Again, some people have tried to say, well, God created Jesus and then used Jesus to create everything. Well, then we have a problem there too with that statement, because in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24, it says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formeth thee, or formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now, you know, I built a deck a couple of years ago on the back of my house. And I can say I built the deck because I planned it out. I bought and paid for the materials and I worked on it. But here's something I cannot say and be honest. I cannot say I made the deck alone. I put everything together by myself. I had a good friend of mine help me with that. And some other people helped me with parts of it. So I had help. I didn't do it alone. If God created Jesus and then used Jesus to create everything, if Jesus was a created being like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, they believe he's Michael the Archangel, by the way, and they don't like to tell you that right away. But if that were the case, God could not have said that he stretched forth the heavens alone and that he spread abroad the earth by himself. That's how he said he did it. And he did that. I am the Lord, chapter 45, verse 5, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He purchased our salvation. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do so, or it's everlastingly too late. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's view.